Hallelujah.
So with that thought in mind and continuing along those lines, and I've mentioned this before, and many people understand this, that man's purpose is to glorify God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We are here to glorify God, and again, I've often quoted the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The first question is, what is the chief end or chief purpose of man? And that is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that is what our purpose is here today. And when we are called to glorify God, and looking at Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. We are to glorify God. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, wherefore, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or any such thing, do all to the glory of God. That is our purpose, to do everything that we do to the glory of God. And Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That is our purpose. And as we enjoy him in the things of life, Philippians said, rejoice in the Lord evermore. And again, I say, rejoice. And in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We are to enjoy him, and we will enjoy Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen? What a wonderful truth. If you take the truth of this into your hearts this day, or if it only has been in your heart in a mediocre way, but you grasp this today, this will transform your life. It's something that God has called us to do, called us to be constantly giving him glory in every moment of our life, every waking hour, every waking moment. Even while we sleep, holy dreams of Jesus should permeate our mind. And so we want to concentrate on that today, giving God glory. Many glory in the things of the world. And very interesting, when I came in this morning, someone showed me a picture of myself when I was on Mr. Rogers' show 3,000 years ago. My, have I changed. And I had a bunch of hair then. And of course, I'm still good looking as ever, but what a crowd. No. The fact is that we change, and our beauty fades, but the love of Jesus Christ never fades. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So many people are maybe glorying in their youth. I gloried in my strength. I gloried in physical aspect of physical fitness, and I tried to do all I could to maintain that. And some people glory in material things. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world, for all that of the world is not of God. He who loves the world, the love of God is not in him. We cannot love the world. And what I mean by the world, I don't mean the beauty of the flowers and nature. I mean by the things that Satan presents as a diversion from what the true purpose of us is to be, which is to worship God and glorify God in everything we do. We are called to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love, and I want to read three scriptures here. Listen to this. This is about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, this speaking Jesus being the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's Hebrews 1:3. What a beautiful truth that is. And again in Philippians 2:11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To glorify God is to glorify Jesus. And the only way we could truly be glorifying God is to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved, and there is none other name by with which you are saved. Many cults preach a Jesus that is not the eternal Son of God. They are not preaching the true Jesus. But we are to glorify the Son as the only one, as the eternal one, as God himself. And so, what does it mean to glorify God? And we saw today as we stood and we worshiped God and we gave him praise and honor, that would be one aspect of it. But is worshiping God an attitude, or is it an act? Is it something you do? Or is it something that comes from your innards, that just this leaps out from you? When I think of glorifying God, I think about that it emanates first from my heart before any place else. And I ask you, do we glorify his attributes, or do we glorify his character? Or do we glorify his work? When I think about his attributes, we've named them many times. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He is a powerful to do all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere that you can be, God is. He is immutable, unchangeable. He is eternal. He is infinite. He is glorious. There are more attributes than I possibly can think of, but his character, God is love. God is holy. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is just, pure, lovely. He is every attribute, every character quality that we could ever think of. And he's not the best. He's not even the watermark. He is that. God is love. He's not the most loving. He is love. Everything else is measured by him. We don't put up a scale and say, oh, God loves the most. He is all. He is love. That's his character. And when I think about his work, he created all things. God is the creator of you, me, everything from the ant to the blade of grass to the furthest galaxy. God has created it all. And you know what he curated it from? He didn't create it from matter. He created it by speaking his word. All he did was speak his word, let there be, and it was. He didn't have to form anything. He just said, let there be light. Let there be earth. God spoke it into existence. He is the creator. That is his work. He is the savior of the world. It's only through and by Jesus Christ that we ever have salvation. He is the sustainer of all mankind. If for a moment he took his hands off any one of us, any good person, any bad person, they would fall apart. God sustains them. I love in John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were made by Jesus Christ. What a beautiful truth for you to get that in your mind. Why should not we give glory to that God? Amen? He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. By the end of this sermon, I want you shouting, glory to God! Hallelujah! He's my Savior, my Lord, my all in all. It's time that the rocks not shout out, but the people of God praise him in the beauty of holiness. We need to lift up our Lord and Savior. As I said, I feel that glorifying God is an attitude that springs from the heart, that acknowledges his attributes, his character, his work, and is manifest in our acts of worship and thanksgiving and praise, seen in the actions of all that we do in this life, as done unto God in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I see glorifying God is a life that is lived in adoration and praise to the one that purchased our salvation. Totally surrendered. I love the song, I Surrender All. We need to be totally surrendered and totally committed and dependent on Christ. If you don't want to say that you depend on Christ, you do depend on Christ, whether you know it or not. He is the one that sustains us. A life that takes every circumstance as an opportunity to give glory to God. A life that takes every circumstance, whether you be in church, out of church, at work, in your home, at play, every circumstance is an opportunity for you to glorify your Creator, God Almighty. But what do people glory in? Now, when you're thinking of people, you're thinking, I'm talking about the outside world. I'm often thinking about we ourselves. If you remember, the rich young ruler had been such a good example of a man that followed the law. And when he came and Jesus spoke with him, and he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, follow the law. And the man said, I followed every one of the commandments. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. This man gloried in his riches. Some of us glory in what we attain here on earth. Can we glory in material things? Can we glory in people, other people? Can we glory in ourselves? Can we glory in events? As a young man, I said I gloried in my strength, in physical fitness, and being able to do things that I wanted to do physically. I gloried in success. I gloried in successful men that had achieved greatness. And at times, that's what our society pushes us to. Then I began to consider Jesus Christ, and I began to admire Jesus Christ and the resolve he had as a man, and his ability to speak the truth, and uncompromised he spoke the truth, and to instruct with such insight and wisdom. But then I found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I committed my life to him. And I no longer glorified him only as a man that had succeeded in getting his message across. I glorified in what he had done for me and mankind, in the love that he had shown for me and continues to show to me and to all mankind, to his crucifixion on the cross and the life that he lived to give glory to his Father while he represented mankind on earth. In essence, I fell in love with Jesus Christ as a total man, a man that lived for God, that served God, that was selfless and not self-seeking as I find myself to be. But Jesus Christ lived his life to the glory of God. For me, it was like the light of the sun slowly dawning on a new day of understanding. To live for Christ and to glorify him is what I've been called for. It's what I've been called to do. It's my reason for being, to worship my Lord and Savior. It's as though the light increased and I saw things more clearly than ever, that I was to glorify my Lord and Savior. As we realize who Jesus is, why he's the eternal Son of God, and what he has done in salvation and creation and all those things that we've talked about, and now where he's gone to be at the right hand of the Father, and that he is coming again. This is something that should sober anyone in their consideration of giving God glory in all things. As we begin to glorify Jesus Christ, we realize that the accomplishments of man as to glorifying in them grows less and less in our eyes. I love the song, and the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is what we are here to do this day, to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We glorify God. We glorify Jesus and all that pertains to him. Paul said in Galatians, he said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Everything that is of God, everything that is of Christ, we glorify. That is what we should glory in. That is what we should exalt the name of Jesus in. When I glorify God, And as I have glorified God, and as we continue to glorify God, it will affect us. A life that glorifies God, it will transform you. It's transformational to be able to glorify God. We fulfill our inner purpose, first of all, our intended purpose, rather, that we are to worship and we are to glorify God. That is your purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose in life, to give glory to God. And that's what we are called to do. When I glorify God and I lift up the name of Jesus Christ, do you realize that you are recognized in heaven? The Bible says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So know that when you're lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, you are going right into the throne room of God, and he is listening to you. I believe that praise, worship, and glorifying God literally attracts the presence of God. The Bible says he dwells in the presence of praises of his people. And I just want to give an illustration about that in a moment. But we exercise an inner assurance that comes from us that we are doing the right thing when we praise God. When I worship God, I live for his glory. I have an inner witness that I am doing the best thing I could possibly do. When I'm thinking about myself, other things, I don't have that witness. But when I'm glorifying my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that witness is in me. When you glorify God, have you ever come in here not feeling 100% and you began to glorify God, praise God, and it dispelled the darkness? His light will dispel the darkness. I said this before, but I asked you, do you ever wake up grumpy? I said to one woman, do you ever wake up grumpy? She said, no, I let him sleep. But I've awakened with a heaviness or something upon me. But when I begin to glorify my Savior, it's lifted from me. I told you years ago, before my feet hit the floor off the bed in the morning, I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. And the other thing I want to add to that is when you get out of bed and before your feet hit the ground and you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. Say this also. Whatsoever you do, whatsoever I do this day, I will do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. For it is of the Lord that I win the reward of the inheritance, for I serve the Lord Christ. It shows that I am glorifying God and I am enjoying him. To live and rejoice in God is to enjoy him in all that he has given you. It satisfies that innate desire within our heart to praise and worship, and we are called to do that. I believe that it literally unleashes what Christ called as resurrection power. It releases that power to be able to dispel darkness, to put the enemy to flight. I believe that we are entering into the kingdom of God when we live in that realm of glorifying God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are released unto me as I glorify my Savior. This is not New Age that I'm talking. It's old Bible that we are to glorify God and we are to thy kingdom come by living in the truth of glorifying his name. Hallowed be thy name. And so the illustration I just wanted to give you, it's not so much an illustration but a story in Chronicles. And it came, and this is Solomon. Solomon now has set up the temple in Jerusalem. If you remember, it was a tabernacle, a tent in the wilderness. And now they've come in, and Solomon has built a house under the name of God. And it said, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place, for all the priests were presented, were sanctified, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, it came to even pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I want to see this house filled with glory. I don't need a smoke machine when I have the presence of God Almighty. That's what I'm looking for. The holy Shekinah glory of God, which is the presence of Jesus Christ. And if you will glorify God in your heart, with your mouth, in your actions, in all that you do, that glory will fall like rain upon us. It will transform us. It will energize us. We've been called to glorify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We try to muster up that presence of God. You can't muster it up. If I jumped and shouted, I know I'm shouting now, but I mean, if I just did that by just trying to get you all hepped up, it'd be nothing more than a moment's excitement. But if you encounter the living God, if you encounter Jesus Christ, and you are praising him with a heart filled with thanksgiving and worship and glorifying him for who he is and all he is to you, I'm telling you, you will be filled beyond comprehension. The love of God, the presence of God, the blessings of God will shower upon you as never before. Oh, God, hallelujah. We long for your presence, Lord God. We long to glorify your name, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name that we want to praise and glorify but God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory be to God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you feeling defeated in your life? Begin to glorify Christ Almighty. Glorify him for who he is. He is the victor, and he will bring victory in your life. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify the name of God. We glorify the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Again, thinking about when King Jehoshaphat and his army were being attacked. And he said, "Hear me." I love this. He didn't complain that they were going to be slaughtered. He said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in God, and ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper." And he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. Not one escaped. I am telling you, as you praise God and rejoice in him and glorify the name of Jesus Christ, he will put all of your enemies to flight. He will make every aspect of your life victorious. Victorious. I'm not saying you won't have challenges, but I'm telling you, God has promised victory because God is with you of a truth, and his presence will never leave you. So why should you glory and praise defeat? You should praise the God who brings the victory in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory be to Christ Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Are you glorifying God in everything? Are you glorifying God with your mouth, with your speech? Do you affirm and acknowledge that he is in control of your life? Is God in control of your life? Or is Satan in control of your life? Is God in control of your life, or is the world dictating to you and in control of your life. I'm telling you, Satan may be the god of this world, but he's not the god of my world. Jesus Christ is the God of my world, and he lives and reigns in me. He will direct my paths. I have trusted in him with all my heart, and I will not be thwarted from the path that God has put me on, for I trust in Jesus Christ. He will bring it to pass. This is the God that I serve. Hallelujah. I'm excited about God. I'm excited about glorifying him and him alone. Thank you, Jesus. As I listen to some of the conversations and statements of Christians, they're doing everything but glorifying God in their speech, let alone their hearts. I sit and I let the Christians complain about everything that you can think of, tell about their miseries and their woes and how things have happened to them, tell about disasters and tell about how politics is running their life and this world. I am telling you, politicians don't run my life. Christ does. That's who I'm living for. And I have been guilty of it myself to speak it or reiterate anything that is not of God. Instead of saying, gee, did you see what they did here or how rotten this is here? Why don't we stand up like Jehoshaphat said and said, believe in God, trust in him, commit your way to him, and he will bring it to pass. Do you serve God or are you locked up in some kind of malaise of complaint? It's God who we serve. If God truly does dwell in the praises of his people, don't you want him to dwell in the praises of your lips rather than the complaints that come to your mind? It seems that the daily news or television or radio or internet controls so many Christians' attitudes that they fail to see that they are victorious in Jesus Christ. The Bible says to enjoy him forever. I enjoy my family, enjoy my wife, my boys, my grandchildren, my daughters-in-law. I enjoy the people of this church. I enjoy ice cream. I enjoy fishing, hunting, kissing my wife. I enjoy a lot of stuff. But if you took God from my equation, if God wasn't the center of my life, everything else would become meat without salt, life without joy. Everything would lose its savor. Everything would be stale. I woke up this morning thanking God that Lillian loves Jesus Christ, that she serves the Lord. I said, what a joy. What a joy to know that I am affiliated with one of like precious faith. And when I came into this church, I said, these aren't people that are coming to a country club. There's people in this congregation that are hungry for Christ Almighty, hungry for a deeper touch of the Lord, hungry to go deeper into things of Christ. We'll sell it all and give it to God and go praise his holy name. That is what they're living for, Christ Almighty. What a joy. That's what gives my life hope and joy and excitement to know that I am in communion with those that love the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't life be stale and awful if we were in here just meeting together, planning some useless project that wouldn't lift up the name of Christ? But we're thinking about the Lord. We've come here to praise the Lord and lift up his name and glorify him. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank God for that. Even the things that I enjoy in this world will pass away, but Jesus will never pass away. In fact, I want to take all you with me into eternity with Jesus Christ. I don't want to see anybody left behind. You folks that were born after 1990 have no idea what that means, but we had shows years ago Left Behind. sometimes I see people praising God like from a distance. Oh, God, up in heaven, we praise you. Hallelujah. We stand in awe of you. And yes, that's true. I stand in awe of him. But Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. I'm not praising a God that's way up there, but a God that's right in here. I'm praising that God. I'm glorifying that God. I'm lifting up that God. I come to him the way he's invited me to come, as a little child, as a son of the living God, as daughters of the living God. We've received him, and we are now family. I'm part of the family of God Almighty. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify him as my creator, yes, but I glorify him as my father. I glorify Christ as my savior, as my brother, joint heirs with Jesus. I have an intimate relationship with Christ Almighty. I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the day. That is who I praise. I don't praise some object. I don't praise a God. I praise my Father, the Son of the living God who dwells in me. That's who I praise. The one who is at the right hand of the Father that is coming again for me. That's who I praise and glorify. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what does it appear? What does it appear? What does it appear that you are glorifying? We can say a lot of stuff. We can do a lot of stuff. But what does it appear to others and to you? What does it appear as you evaluate your life that you are glorifying? Think about that. Jesus said, my glory will I not share with another. He will not share his glory with anything, with anyone, with any event, with any situation, with any person. It is God that we glorify. It is God who desires us to glorify him. If anyone else would ever say, you should glorify me, they would be evil. God deserves the glory because he is perfect in all of his ways, holy in all of his ways, love in all of his ways. There is only one God, only one to praise. That is God Almighty. Do you glory in things, in circumstances, in situations, in people, in possessions? Do you glory in your own speech and your own opinions? God wants you to glorify him. Don't spend your time in other things. Spend your time glorifying him. I'm telling you, God will extend your day and he will open the way for you to be able to pray to him daily, moment by moment. And as you do that, he will bless you with his presence, with his anointing as never before. Do you glory in Jesus? Do you glory in Jesus Christ who bought you? It is no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth in you. The life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Does anybody else deserve your glory other than the one that died for you and that is coming for you to take you to eternity with himself? Does anybody deserve the glory except Jesus Christ? Show me the one. Show me the one that you glory in. It's Jesus Christ that we're called to glory in. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Is it centered on Christ Almighty or something else or someone else? I think about the immaterial aspects of glory in God more than the physical things that we might do, even as a corporate body. But I think about an intimate relationship with Christ through glorifying him in our hearts, through having faith in him, through believing in him, through loving him, through praying to him, through rejoicing in Him throughout the day, through trusting Him in all situations of our life, through listening for His voice, for thanking Him for all things, for worshiping Him, for glorifying His name. The Bible says we're to pray with the mind and in the spirit, meditating on Him as to whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Getting to the end here, 1 Corinthians 14, 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Meaning that it is not just an outward display that we're looking for of worship. It's that inner attitude of the heart again. In closing, we look at the other side. To not think about those things, or not to meditate on those things that would ever distract you from Christ. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. That is what we are called to do, to resist the devil, to love not the world nor the things in the world, and to set your affections on things above, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. I will give Him all the glory I have in my heart. I will give Him all the praise I can possibly give. I will lift up His name forever and ever. I will glorify my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we say glory be to God? Oh, God, we glorify You. All glory and honor are Yours, God. We praise You, Lord God, for who You are, Lord God. For what You've done, God. Glory be to God.